First time I can say in about a year and a half that we can stand up here and say that God gave us a preacher. We have a pastor to lead us now. That is great, right? Praise God for that. That is awesome. It is just amazing. One of the things that we got to do over the course of being on the search team, when we talked to a lot of pastors, prospective pastors, one of the best things that I really enjoy doing, and I really kind of like, it was fun to brag on us at Grace, was I can say that, you know, we at Grace here, we love to share life together, right? Like, we like to do life together in community. So I thought, hey, you know what? This is an awesome opportunity to where I'm going to share life with you guys in a little bit. But before that, we're going to continue our series on Philippians. And this is week 7. So this is the 7th time. And I'm not going to recap the whole thing for you. Kent, Jake, Rich have done a fantastic job leading us up to this point. But just a kind of a couple of things. If you haven't seen it yet or listened to any of the services, go back to them and recap, see where we're at today. If you missed any one of them, they are awesome. They did a great job, so go back there. But let me just cover a couple of things, just kind of a reminder. So Paul, he wrote this to the church in Philippi. And let's remember, Paul is in house arrest. He's marked by chains. He's chained to Roman guards. He can't go anywhere. A couple of the themes in this book is we're talking about church unity. And one of the awesome things that we have is church unity. What about last week? 94-0. God worked in our church community here to say, yes, we want Pastor John Hayden to lead this church. 94-0. So I also want to apologize here for you guys, some people that thought that Pastor John was going to be here this week and leading on. As Rich mentioned, let's give him a little bit of grace as he transitions his family from where he is outside of Detroit to here. That's kind of a big step for him. So let's be in prayer for him and his family. But you have me. I'm not anywhere near or close to the preaching caliber as he is, but I'm better looking. So you got half going, right? He's not watching this, right? but let's pick up in Philippians. We are in chapter 3, and I'm going to be reading verse 1 through 11 today. So let's stand out of respect for the word together as we read and continue in our study in Philippians chapter 3. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if anyone thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the 8th day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regards to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death and somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. You can be seated. So Paul opens up here, chapter 3, he says, Further, my brothers and sisters, and this isn't one of those where a preacher goes and says, and the last point, I'm finally done here. No, this isn't Paul landing the plane to get done, because he's halfway through, right? We're only halfway through our study. So this is Paul saying, hey, you know what? This is a transitional period. I'm pointing something out to you guys, and I want you guys to pay attention to this. This is important to you, my brothers and sisters. He's talking to the church in Philippi. He's talking to Christians just like us. And he says this, and this is the common theme that we've seen so far. He says, rejoice in the Lord. And this is, you know, this is the first time that Paul has ever said, rejoice in the Lord. He said, rejoice, have joy, find joy. Christ is joy. This is the first time where he says, rejoice in the Lord. He gives us a command where he says, rejoice in the Lord. So it's pretty easy for us to sit back here and find joy in things, right? When we've read this, like, yeah, I find joy in my family. And certainly my family brings me lots of joy. I find joy in my job. I find joy in my friends. I find joy going out and playing video games or hanging out with buddies, right? Like, I find joy in that. But this is something where Paul actually says, find your joy in the Lord. But then it also begs me to ask this question too, where is our joy found? In the Lord. But sometimes it's difficult, right? Because we're sitting here and we're thinking, you know what? I'm not feeling pretty joyful right now. Like, I come into church, it's rainy, it's snowy, it's just icky outside. I don't know if I can find joy. Some people here, you know, we're going through hardships in our life, right? Like cancer or a lost job or whatever it is. It's kind of hard to find joy in our circumstances. But Paul gives us something to look forward to. He says, hey, find our joy in the Lord. So I don't want us to get lost in that. You know what, Dave? It's hard to find joy right now. It's difficult. I don't think I can. Well, you know what? Let's give this back to God and let's pray together and let's not get lost in our circumstances. Let's find joy in the Lord. So let's pray together and ask God to calm our hearts. Heavenly Father, we come to you as a joyful people, thanking you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for this word that you've given us today to be able to meditate and pick apart and just learn from you so we can apply it to our lives, Father. I pray for anybody here that is here today that is going through difficult circumstances. Father, will you just comfort them? Will you calm their hearts? Will you point them back to you? Father, may we not look upon our worldly circumstances, but will we look upon our Creator, Father. We want to look on you and all that you've done for us, Father. All good and perfect things come from above. So, Father, may we be people that look to you in everything that we do. Father, I just ask for your comfort and for your peace. May you point us towards you, our true north, in everything that we do today, Father. May you open our eyes and our hearts to what you want each one of us to hear today. And, Father, may you do a great work through us, all for your glory and your glory alone. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul says right here, hey, you know what? Rejoice in the Lord. And then he says, he gives us a caution. He says, for this, the same things I've written to you again, and it's a safeguard. So this is something for us to look at, is that Paul gives us a safeguard. What I'm about to tell you is difficult. It's hard for us to look at this in spite of all of our circumstances. This is a safeguard for you. So what I got for you, and what I'm going to tell you, church in Philippi, this is Paul, not Dave. Paul, what I got for you guys, this is a safeguard for you. You can take this to the bank. This is going to help you. So this is stuff to where we're going to look at, and we're going to be like, all right, this is good. Paul's got something great for us, right? Verse 2, watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. And when you read that, I'm like, watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, mutilators of the flesh. Is Freddy Krueger around that door or something? I got to watch out for these people coming here, right? I mean, we look at him like, oh, okay, I, what's up with this? Well, dogs, I mean, I love dogs. And those that know me, I have a 90-pound German Shepherd, and he is a big ball of fuzz. He loves everybody. It's something where he'll, like, lay on my lap, he'll fall asleep, and I'll wake up, and my legs will be asleep because he had cut off all circulation. I'm like, come on, get off me, big guy. But Paul says dogs, and this isn't one of those college students where, like, Paul's saying, hey, what's up, dog? What's going on? You kids say that anymore? Yes, no, you guys aren't saying that. He's not saying, what's up, dog? But Paul's not saying that either. He's not saying, watch out for my homies over there. No, Paul is saying, watch out for those dogs. And in Jewish customs, Paul was talking about, you know, these were dogs that were, dogs would roam the streets. Dogs were unclean things. The Bible actually says dogs return to their vomit. Dogs lick the sores of leopards. This is one of those where Paul is saying, hey, watch out for these unclean people. Unclean things. He's not actually talking about dogs. He is calling a group of people dogs. Watch out for those evildoers. I don't think I need to get into that much. Watch out for people that do evil, right? And then watch out for those mutilators of the flesh. And we're going to get into a little bit about what Paul was talking about, mutilators of the flesh here. But Paul is not talking about three specific groups of people or three types of people. He's actually referring to one specific group, and this was the Judaizers. And Paul was talking about Judaizers, and these were people that taught a combination of, yeah, you could be saved by Jesus Christ, but you also need to do other stuff. You also need to live by the Mosaic law. And the actual word in the Greek, Judaizers, comes from to live according to Jewish customs. So we're sitting here, and Paul is saying, watch out for these people, those mutilators of the flesh. Paul was talking about in Jewish customs, and we see it in Genesis 17, where we talk about circumcision. That's where Paul is talking about when he talks about mutilators of the flesh. Now, those that aren't really familiar with Bible terminology, for me to stand up here and talk about circumcision, that's kind of a weird thing, right? But you know what? It was kind of important in Jewish customs. And in Genesis 17, Paul was saying, on the eighth day, Jewish boys would be circumcised. And that was a covenant between God and the Israelites. And this was something that was important where Paul was talking about. Watch out for those people that think that you have to achieve outward things. Watch out for those people that go around saying that, hey, you have to do outward things as opposed to inward. Paul was talking about, and he spoke about circumcision at great length in the book of Galatians. And if you just want to flip back, if not, in Galatians 2, Paul was talking about 2:16, know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have to put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we justified by faith in Christ, not by the works of the law, because of the works of the law, no one will be justified. So Paul was talking about, ultimately, watch out for these Judaizers. They will tell you, and a Judaizer now, back then and now, will tell you that, hey, you got to follow God to get things from God. A Judaizer will also tell you that God will love you if. But Paul is telling, hey, it's not an outward thing. It's an inward thing. Paul is saying that God so loved you that he gave his only son for you. Judaizers will tell you that you need to do stuff and act right first on the outside before you can allow God on the inside. But Paul is saying, watch out for those people. And then Paul says here in verse 3, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Paul is actually saying, hey, you know what? It's not about outward circumcision. It's about inward circumcision of the heart. And this is something that he looks forward on the outside that you can tell where there's actually circumcision happening on the inside. It is we who serve God by his Spirit. And some of your versions say serve God. Some versions say worship God. But you know what? When you worship God, you're also serving God. And when you're serving God, you're also worshiping God. And these are things that Paul says, hey, you know what? On the outside, this is how you can tell that a true Christian, a true follower of Christ is that they are worshiping and serving God on the outside. But it also he also says that we boast in the work of Jesus. There is nothing that I can do that would gain favor. Paul talks right here in Psalm 73, 26, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart, my portion forever. Jesus is the one I put my confidence in. I'm going to boast in Christ. When was the last time that we've been at work and we've actually boasted in the work of Christ? I don't know about you, but I want to go around and I want to put Jesus on display. I want to boast in him for what he's done for me. Because you know what? My flesh, my heart, my life, it's going to fade away. My life is a vapor, and it's gone. But during that life, I want to boast in Christ. I want to serve God. I want to worship God. That is how you can tell the true circumcision is actually happening on the inside and not on the outside. But then Paul kind of takes a right-hand turn. And he says, though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if someone thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. And Paul is saying, you know, probably to some of the Judaizers that are in the crowd, he's saying, hey, you know what? I know you're pretty hot stuff. You think you're pretty hot stuff, but I got stuff here. So let's look at my resume. He's basically going to call them out. He's going to call their bluff and say, hey, you know what? Look at me. Verse 5. And it's not in a bragging kind of way, but it almost is. It's almost like, hey, you know what? Follow. This is something that I've done before. In verse 5, it said, circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regards to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. So Paul is saying right here, hey, my heritage, I was circumcised on the eighth day. My parents did everything for me to bring me up, and in my family brought me up in your customs, in your Judaizing ways. I was awesome bringing up. Look at me. It says the tribe of from Israel, the tribe of Benjamin. Interestingly enough, Jacob's youngest son, or youngest son, Benjamin, through that, through the tribe of Benjamin, came the first Israelite king, which was named Saul. Well, what was Paul's name before his conversion? Saul. He's literally saying, I am a Hebrew of Hebrews. My name literally runs Hebrew and Israel. This is me. This is my heritage. This is everything that I've been brought up for. This was me. It says, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regards to the law, a Pharisee. Pharisees were people, again, and Jacob mentioned this in his sermon, Pharisees were people that followed the law to a T, in a way to say, hey, look at me, look at everything that I've done, I've kept the law. As for zeal, persecuting the church. Zeal? Zeal was one of these high, it just means great enthusiasm for something. And you saw this back when Paul was actually Saul, before his conversion to Christ. Paul was very zealful, is that a word? He was full of zeal, right? Like he went around persecuting the church, looking out for Christians whom he can persecute. Zeal actually is one of those where, hey, you know what? I loved this, the organization or the religion of church so much that I am going to hate everybody that comes against this organization of the church. Paul is saying, you know what? I had so much zeal for that enough so I can just hate somebody. That's how we should read this, is, you know what? I had such love for the church that I was a Pharisee, and I just hated people that didn't like anything about this church and organization of. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. So Paul is saying right here, hey man, check out my life. Check out everything that I've done up to this point. You know, I'm pretty hot stuff, and he's saying that right to their face. Look at me, look at me, look at me. And it kind of got me thinking, you know what, I'm not a lot like Paul in that realm to where, you know, I'm going to put stuff up on the pedestal of my life. But yet again, I think I am. And I think you are too. And allow me to explain. So I'm going to go over to my bin of life. And as I look down in my life, I think of all the things here that are awesome about me and the things that I've done in pedigree, right? Because we want to be like Paul. Sometimes we put things on the pedestal of our life. You know, Paul just explained, hey, look at this, A, B, C, D, I'm pretty awesome. So don't look at me like being vain conceit up here, I'm not. But you know what, one of these things where I look at my faith in Christ. You know, it's going on 12 years since I accepted the Lord as my personal Savior. And I can think about this as, you know, I am saved by grace. Amen for that. And anybody that knows Christ, we can look back at the day and be like, I love Jesus. I'm on the pedestal of my life. I think about that as the paramount, first and foremost. But then when I look at my pedigree, and Paul talked about, you know what, he talked about his heritage, he talked about his job, he talked about, you know, the things that he did before Christ, he talked about being zealful, full of zeal, I got to work on that. But he looked at his family, and I thought about, well, hey, my family, and I look at a picture of my wife and I, and, you know, I can talk to people about marriage, about family. I've been blessed, God has blessed me with a beautiful wife and three kids, and you know, I can talk to people about that. And those that are sitting here, sometimes people who think, old people that are in the crowd, or young people that have had a lot of experience with marriage, you know what, look at me, I can really help and talk to people about that. That's great, right? I can put that on there. Other things, you know, I looked at I had to dust this off, this was down in my basement, but this is my degree. My certificate from Erie County Community College for paramedics. I worked a hard year for that. And you know what? I can talk to a lot of people. I know some people here who are doctors who have like MBAs or something. Like, really? You worked a year for that? Okay. But you know, it's going to be because I can teach people about becoming a paramedic. And you look at me and I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty hot stuff. My job is, you know, anybody relate here to their job? You know, when you think about that, I've been in my job for a lot. Anybody who's been in a job for X amount of years can think, you know what, they can talk about a lot of things. And there's other stuff too, and I definitely had to dust this off, but my award, I had to go back to 2006 to find the last time I actually won an award, and this was when I was a youth soccer referee of the year for New York State. Yeah, I referee soccer, but you know, I can talk to people about soccer, and I'm pretty awesome. So I don't know if you can necessarily relate to that, but anybody that's won an award, be like, you would look at somebody who's won an award and be like, wow, that person is awesome. They know what they're doing. I'm going to go talk to that person, right? But other stuff that I think we all can relate to, and no, this isn't a Bible, but I think this is where Paul was coming from as it pertains to knowledge. And one of the interesting things, too, about Paul was taught by Gamaliel. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but this was the teacher of teachers that everybody wanted back then. And Paul was, he's like, you know what, I've also learned a lot of stuff in my life, especially from him. So Paul, you know what, I could look at this, and I've got a chance to sit under Rich, under Pastor Hamilton here. I've taken a lot of, like, when I look at this, you know, this is like doctrine and stuff. And I don't do this patting myself on the back, but anybody that's gone to conferences, I look at, like, yesterday, some of the men in our group went to a conference. We're like, yeah, you guys are awesome. That's knowledge right there, right? But other things too, you know, when I look at, and this isn't necessarily me, but I look at, you know, look at how strong I can be, right? You know what, well, we look at somebody who's strong and putting strength in the flesh. And you know what, my pedestal seems to be getting kind of full, right? But I think you kind of get where I'm coming from. And other things too, you know, we look at our life, and I don't think a man could ever touch one of these without touching it twice, right, and get it going. But, you know, I look at the work of my hands, and I look at the things that I can build with. And some people here, I'm super jealous of you guys. I can swing a hammer pretty well, but some of you guys that know how to build, like, cabinets and everything, man, you guys are awesome. Please teach me how to do that kind of stuff. But when we look at that, like, you are awesome with that. But other things too, and I have two left. One of the things, when we look at, like, look at the things that I've done in my life, you know, my organizations and the social causes that I have done in my life, I am pretty awesome, right? Like, it's pretty cool that you do all this stuff. And lastly, too, money. It's just $7, so don't go rushing the stage. Joey. But when I look at this, like, we think of putting on our pedestal of our lives, we think about our money, and we think about our 401ks, we think about our jobs, we think about our houses, we think the stuff that we want to put on a pedestal and look at us, yeah, I'm pretty awesome. When I look at the pedestal of my life, I'm pretty awesome, right? But Paul then takes a left-hand turn right here, and he tells us almost, this is kind of sobering a little bit here in verse 7, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. All of these things that Paul attained, he attained his heritage, who he was brought up with, his family, his religion, and his traditions, all this stuff culminated to one point. This is where, like, this is a business term that Paul is relating to, where he's talking about, you know what, in accountants here, you know, this, you have the gains and the loss columns. You know what, I have all this stuff that I've gained over here. I now need to put it over here, loss for the count, for the sake of Christ. Am I doing that today? You know what, and Paul goes on, he says, what is more, I now consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ. Paul is saying that, you know what, hey, despite all my earthly gains, my family, my tradition, it means nothing to me. Nothing for the sake of knowing Christ. And this knowing word is actually, in Greek, it's not knowing like up here. It's knowing down here. It's knowing from like an experiential sense, from knowing in here in my heart, not the knowing up here. And Paul actually goes on in some versions. He talks about this in relates to garbage. He then goes on and he says, I consider all this garbage. Paul, in some versions, talks garbage. Other versions say rubbish. Those that say English Standard Version, rubbish. I'm horrible in my English. But rubbish or dung or poop. In relation to this, this is similar to a swear word. This is one of those to where Paul is talking about, it's just garbage. It stinks. All this stuff that I thought that I gained, it stinks. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. So it says being found in him. Christ is the one that we put our faith in. It's only by Christ in him for what he's done for me. It's nothing that I can attain. It's nothing that I did. It's not anything here that I put on my pedestal of life for salvation. Paul is ultimately saying this as it pertains to salvation. Mathematics-wise, Jesus plus anything here is nothing but a gospel distortion. When I look at all this, this is what I need to be doing with my life. Is all this stuff good? Yeah, I guess, to some point. But Paul says that anything that I need to put on here that says that Jesus plus anything equals something, as it pertains to dung, this is not what it's talking about. Like when you have Jesus plus fertilizer, you're going to get something awesome. No, that's not what he's saying at all. He's saying Jesus plus anything else is just gospel distortion. This is what I need to be doing as it pertains to salvation. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to look at here. When you look at this, if this is salvation right here, the more I look at all this stuff here, what's the less that you can see? You can't see Jesus at all, right? In my life, as it pertains to salvation and as it pertains to giving glory to God, I must wipe off everything that's on the pedestal of my life to give glory to God. Now, I'm not telling you, and certainly I can probably say this, that because my wife isn't here, I'm not telling you to put your kids in the trash. That's not what I'm telling at all. I see one guy back there, ooh, let's go, we're going out to the trash. No, that's not what I'm telling at all. Paul is using this, it's hyperbole, right? He's exaggerating for effect, but he's trying to drive the point home that Jesus plus anything in our lives is a distortion of the gospel. When in reality, when we look at all this stuff of my life, I need to put it in the trash, because Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Your righteousness, our righteousness, is only found on the basis of faith in Christ alone. And that is what Paul is talking about here. On the pedestal of our lives, you know what? Sometimes, those that don't know Jesus, I want you to grasp this concept, that as it pertains to salvation and faith alone in Jesus Christ only comes by confessing with your mouth, believing in your heart, knowing him, that he will save you. It's only the work that he's done on the cross. There's nothing that I can do to earn salvation. But there's another thing too. Those that know Jesus, sometimes we have a tendency to come over to the trash, right? Paul talks about watch out for those dogs. And I don't think there's a coincidence there that dogs return to their vomit. Sometimes we have a tendency, right, to go over to the trash and maybe look down and say, when we're talking to our friends about Jesus, right, it's Jesus plus, hey, you know what, there's this really awesome life group that's going on. It's Jesus plus, you know, my life group. You got to join our church. You got to come here. And you know what, church is great. Join a life group. But as it pertains to salvation, found in him alone, it's garbage. And that's what Paul is talking about right here. Homework assignment for you guys. When you get home, go to your trash. Go to your trash, and I want you to, hopefully it's full. If it's not, wait a couple of days or whatnot. Go to your trash and take a big... Now, some of y'all are laughing. But that is the smell of Jesus plus anything else. That is gospel distortion. The sweet smell of Jesus is only Jesus alone. Paul says, and this is how I land the plane, and Beth, Carl, if you guys want to come up as we start into this, in the communion table, and we look at this. Paul says in verse 10 and 11, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. You know what? Participation with Jesus in his sufferings, his death, his resurrection, means that I must daily throw out all the things that are in my life, on the pedestal of my life, that distract me from loving God alone, so I can focus solely on the gospel day by day. It's not all the other junk that I put up on the pedestal of my life that I need to focus on. Is some of this stuff good? Is family good? Yeah. Is money good? Yeah, if used for His glory. Is your job good? Absolutely. Are friends good? Sometimes. But it doesn't matter as pertains to salvation and Christ alone for what He's done for us. And Paul also talks about here, when he talks about participation in His sufferings and becoming like Him in His death, I want to turn to the book of Luke in closing. Luke 23. It's up on the screen too. When participation in Christ in His sufferings and His death, it can be found here. Now let me paint the picture. Christ is moments away from death, moments away from saying it is finished, and He is hung on a cross. Death is moments away, and He is between two thieves. And this is what happens. Let's pay attention to this interaction between the two. There was a written notice above Him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked Him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." I think this is what Paul was talking about when he was thinking about the resurrection, about the sufferings with Christ. You know what? We have two criminals here. One criminal is saying, "Hey, Jesus, you need to do stuff for me. You need to do things. You need to save yourself. You need to save me." Sometimes, you know, I think that I'm that criminal up there. I'm one of those criminals that say, "Hey, you know what? Like, I need Jesus plus other stuff. You need to get down on the cross. You need to do some magic. You need to work whatever it is that you can do. And then I need to do some stuff. Get down on the cross. We can work it together." Are you that criminal? Or are you the other criminal that all that he said was, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom"? This was the criminal that didn't have a church that he belonged to, that didn't have a life group, that didn't have fancy degrees, that didn't have all that stuff. He just believed in Christ. That's all he believed in, was Christ. Once we grasp that concept that all we need is Christ, it then turns from, "I don't need to impress you guys anymore. I just need to serve and worship God," which is what Paul was talking about in the first part, I think in verse 6 or 7, where he was talking about just serving here. I need to serve and worship God and boast in Him alone. I don't want to be that criminal that thinks that I need to get stuff from God. Let's not be that church that thinks that we need to get stuff from God, rather than, "I'm just going to serve God and serve Him alone." I would ask you, what's on your pedestal? Is it a job? Is it looking for better grades? And what do you need to do to get that off of your pedestal so you can focus solely on Christ alone? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for loving us. As we move into a time where we remember your sufferings and your death on the cross, Father, we just thank you for that gift of salvation that you've given us. And Father, I pray that if anybody here does not know you, I pray that they would stop running. I pray that they would rest right here and see that they don't need to attain anything at all. I pray that they would grasp the concept of just resting in what you did solely on the cross, dying for our sins, 3 days later rose again, conquering sin and death. And because of that, we can give you all the glory, all the praise, because you conquered death, and you are so worthy and so holy. So, Father, in this week, may we just uproot, may we prune everything in our lives that is distracting us from following you alone. And may we be a people that don't focus on the outward appearance, but focus on a man's heart. Father, we want to love you and serve you with everything that we do. May you guard our hearts and may you prep our hearts for communion, to where we can think about and remember that gift that you've given us. Father, we love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.